Our reading tonight comes from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, and the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. From the pillars of the earth, our lords, and on from the pillars of the earth are for the pillars of the earth other lords, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversaries shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give his strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." Hannah's prayer is thought to be the precursor or even the inspiration for Mary's Magnificat, which has been and will continue to be an area of focus for us in worship throughout this season of Advent. We will look at the Magnificat specifically in 2 weeks from tonight. And next week, during this midweek service, we will focus upon Abraham and Sarah's response to the news that they will have a child at their very advanced ages. All three of these stories, Hannah's, Abraham and Sarah's, as well as Mary's, are stories about women who are unable to have children. Hannah and Rachel, because of their barrenness, which in the Bible is always blamed on the woman, and for Mary, because of her young age and marital status. All three stories are a demonstration of how God is able to create life where life was not and should not exist by only the sound of God's voice. In these stories, God speaks life into existence, just as God did when God spoke the world into being in the creation narrative in Genesis. However, rather than focus upon God's agency and activity in these stories, we're going to focus upon how these women responded to becoming pregnant and having a child, specifically a son. Hannah's story begins in the first chapter of 1 Samuel, where we learn that she is one of two wives of husband Elkanah. The other wife, Peninnah, whose name literally means fertile or prolific, she had many children, but not Hannah. She had none. And for that, Peninnah was mercilessly teased her and gave her a hard time. But Elkanah, their husband, was very nice and kind to his wife Hannah. She might have even been his favorite. We read that Hannah cried because of her infertility as she prayed to the Lord, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazirite until the day of his death." Hannah was not only pleading with God, she appears to be trying to cut a deal. Have you ever done the same? Have you ever tried to negotiate with God to cut a deal like you would on Shark Tank or in any other business transaction? Sometimes, if we're being honest, we negotiate with God through our prayers, as if God only answered the prayers where God liked the terms of the deal that we present, as if he were calculating his return on his investment. Hannah's petition to God was really no different. She was trying to make a deal with Yahweh, and her deal was that if God would give her a son, she would ensure that he was raised in preparation to serve God as a priest. And Hannah did have a son, and she named him Samuel. And when she had weaned him, she brought him, Samuel, to the temple where he could grow in his knowledge of Yahweh while living and working with the priest Eli. Now, there's no indication that she ever tried to backtrack or talk her way out of the promise that she made. She didn't pretend like she'd had her fingers crossed behind her back when she said it. No, Hannah was faithful. And Hannah delivered her first, and at the time, her only son to the temple and to Eli's tutelage. Samuel and Hannah are important in the story of God's people because Samuel will be the last judge to provide leadership to Israel. As a result, he played a transitional role in the leadership of the Israelites as their requests for a king increased, and ultimately God acquiesced and gave them one. Samuel was not only a judge, he was a priest and a prophet, and as such, he anointed Saul as the first king of the Israelites. And later, he did the same to King David. Anyway, in response to God's answering of her prayer, Hannah sings the prayer that is our reading this evening. Her prayer is a song that celebrates both God's power and God's blessing. It acknowledges that human strength comes from and is exalted in God, for God is incomparable. There is none other like God, for God is our rock, she says. And it is God whom Hannah describes as being the great deliverer who makes surprising reversals. It is God who uses a barren woman like her, like Sarah and even Mary, and he fills them with life in order that the lives of many and ultimately the lives of all people might be changed through them and their offspring. For God has and God continues to work through the least likely of people, people like Hannah, people like Sarah, people like Mary, and he blesses them and uses them to be a blessing to others. These three women each responded to God and God's word with a yes to God. Not because their lives were so great and they wanted to thank God for making things turn out so good so far. No, they responded yes because of the faithfulness of God. They didn't have the faith sufficient to do what they did, but God, who is faithful, did. And it's through the faithfulness of God working through them and in them that they were able to respond in faith, in service, in love to God and God's creation. They were able to say yes, even when it was scary to do so, because God is faithful. And that same God has been and will continue to be faithful to you and to each and every one of us. May the faithfulness of God draw you in this Advent season and always, that you, like these women, might be both blessed and a blessing to others. Amen.